MTV Cast.
Hey, Eddie O'Day calling in. Final call in from Eastern Divide Trail. It's been 5 days already, actually. So I got so caught up in the whirlwind of being done and enjoying myself and sleeping, traveling home. I forgot to do a call in. So made my last day from Key Largo. Show you anything before that. I left Big Cypress and headed out on course and had a big day planned, as big as I could possibly make it to try to have a shorter last day. So pushed on through Big Cypress, lots of wildlife as I came in, all sorts of different birds of prey, you know, just the big herons and egrets and things that you see all over Florida, wood cranes, lots of hawks, but also deer and, yeah, just a lot of movement at all the little critters in there, which was really cool just as I came in, but not many gators, surprisingly. And then out of there, you hit Monument Campground, or maybe it's Monument Lake, I'm not really sure. Anyways, actually really nice campground, hot showers and all the things. I kind of regret not pushing on there that night before, but it is what it is. And get from there out on 41 for just a little bit, US 41, and then you drop into Loop Road, which is a dirt road, more through the swamps there. Water's right up to the edge in a lot of places. Really only saw one gator that I can remember. Actually, two in there. Take that back, two. One was sunning itself right next to the road. The other was in the water. And I looped back to take a photo, maybe video of it. And that sneaky little guy had positioned himself just behind this little tuft of, you know, tall swamp grass kind of stuff in basically a perfect ambush spot. I don't know if he was eyeballing me or what, so I ended up not getting the photo that I wanted because I just didn't want to get that close if he was in a good spot. So I moved on. Fair amount of traffic through there, just campers and tourists and people driving through. But it puts you back out on Highway 41. Dave Bowl out of the Miami area met me there and rode with me for a bit up to a gas station resupply point not too far after that. And then he bid me farewell with promises to see me again later. Which he did. He showed back up at the sort of the end of the levees, the end of US 41 section, with Subway and drinks and bars and just basically everything I would possibly need for a resupply, which was fantastic. That saved me a couple of miles of going into to get resupplies and going off course, which was fantastic. That was really nice of them. And then I took off from there and I was on more levees, this time headed south though. As the sun started to set, I'm looking down the levee and I can see something, right? Not enough to make out. Could have been a deer. Could have been, I don't know, a rock. Who knows, you know, but it was just like, that looks like something. That looks like a foreign something. And then as I got about maybe a little less than 100 yards from it, I could see a little bit more movement. And then all of a sudden it was launched itself off the side of the levee and towards the swamps and into the tall grass. And you could see the slinky cattail. So it was ended up being a panther. Which was pretty awesome to see. It's just the second one I've ever seen in my life in all of my 20-plus years of riding in Florida. So that was really cool to see. And after that, I got into some navigational challenges. We'll say I zigged where I should have zagged. And basically, I went on one side of a little canal. I chose the wrong side of this canal. Unfortunately, the roads kind of closed for another mile and a half, maybe. Yeah, so ultimately, after talking with Carlos and looking at some maps and generally just not wanting to stand still because the mosquitoes were just ferocious, I just started following some dirt roads along the levees trying to head the general direction, and was able to meet up with the route again on mostly dirt. So kind of lucked out there. And then so back on levees and just more along the swamps and whatnot, right? And you can't even stop to have a nature break because the mosquitoes are just so vicious. So I finally get to what should be the end of the levees, and I'm about to get on US 1 and make the turn hard south to go into the Keys. Follow the route. It goes underneath Highway 1, and then you make a hard left to the north, probably 100 yards, and it should be able to loop around and get back on the paved road, the highway. And that's really the bridge that takes you to the Keys. And try that way. There is a 10-foot fence, or a 10-foot gate with the fencing on either side that's at least 8 feet with barbed wire at the top. So it's going to be a really tough one to scale. Back out of there, go to the other side of the highway. So now I'm on the back to the west side of the highway. Head north a little bit to look at that one. Well, that's basically the same scenario. Try to get a hold of Carlos, and he's like, I don't know why those are locked. They should be there. He's like, here, send me a picture of some pedestrian exit thing that is taken in daylight and not a place that I'd even recognize. So I just executive decision there, and I take my front wheel off. I work my handlebars through an opening in the gate that's about a foot wide, and like slowly kind of push my bike as easily as I could with no front wheel on it, right, through the gate, trying not to drop it over, especially on the drive side. While I'm doing this, I noticed I squeezed the front lever brake lever, and of course, that means I just pushed my pistons in. So back to all the brake problems that I've been having since the beginning of this ride. I managed to get it through there, not drop it, and then squeeze myself through. And I get on the other side. I'm trying to mess around with that brake with tire levers and whatever, but the mosquitoes are just, I mean, I've been there a couple of minutes, right? So now they've had time to find me and bring all their friends, and they're having a party on me. I just get eaten up. So I get that wheel on there. I don't care that the wheel's dragging, brakes tracking, whatever. I just start going and get up on Highway 1 and heading south. And it was another 25 miles from there into where the hotels are on Key Largo. I was hoping for a little bit longer than that, but I was just wearing myself out with that brake dragging and just the longest day of the whole ride, mileage-wise. So I ended up with about 145 miles, which is probably, 1,000 feet of elevation, being South Florida. So had a really nice big day there. And then I'm going to call back in here in just a second and wrap that up with my Key Largo to Key West. All right, Eddie O'Day with the really true final call in from the Eastern Divide Trail. So Key Largo, rolled out of there, had a little bit of a sleep in. Nothing too crazy. Maybe I was out to the hotel by about 9, went over to Starbucks and loaded up on coffee and snack. It was not going to be a challenging day as far as navigation and resupplies. I mean, I'm in the Keys, there's stores. I don't have to carry much. It was a little bit of a weird feeling to not be overly concerned about these things. I'm just so conditioned and programmed to be thinking about food to go and what am I going to eat tonight? Where am I going to sleep? It just felt weird to not be, to let myself not be concerned with those things. So anyways, I roll out of there. There's a lot of bike path through Key Largo and down into Marathon, Isle Mirada. I may have the order of those islands slightly off, but the bike path usually pushes you out to the shoulder of the road to go over the bridges between. Some of the bridges are open, some of them are not, to bikes, that is. A lot of them are just the old roads or the old railroad, and it's turned into a fishing pier kind of thing, but it doesn't go all the way through. And it's not really clear at the beginning of them whether they are or not. It's not really signed very well. And riding in on one and having to back out, jump up on the shoulder and go again, I mostly just stayed on the shoulder from there on out. I didn't really mess around a lot with the bike paths. It just seemed a little silly because sometimes it goes from the right side of the road to the left side of the road. It's like, why? It's just too much, you know. I'm just going to stay on the shoulder and keep my mental ease. And then all day it was a headwind. You know, when I looked up the forecast, it was a 13 mile an hour wind out of the west. Going from Key Largo to Key West is basically running southwest. So most of the time it was a headwind. Occasionally it was a little bit of a crosswind. Stopped for some lunch in Marathon. Incredibly slow. They're running on island time down there. It's all tourism world. I thought the bartender was, she was not appreciating my urgency. She probably thought it just was impatience. But yeah, I mean, I sat down, ordered an appetizer, figured out what I was going to actually eat, got that ordered, and this whole thing's taken like an hour and a half. And it's like, why? Why is this taking so long? Anyways, my feeling of urgencies were not being met. And that's okay. It's the keys. That's probably what happens. But I was about to leave. I was actually sitting with friends Dan and Liliana, who were coming down to pick me up and yeah, to meet me in the keys and ultimately help me get out of there. So they were already in town, so they stopped with me at lunch, and I think they were a little confused by my urgency, but sitting still for an hour and a half is not conducive to finishing. Like, I've still got 100 miles of my day. I need to cover that ground, and I was, what, 30 miles in, so I wanted to move. And finally the food did come out just as I was about to walk out. So I did scarf it down and move on. They met me one other time with some water. That was nice. It probably saved me a few minutes anyways. Got into across the 7 mile bridge, not fun. One, you're totally exposed to the wind. And the only break from that is the draft from the cars going by. And the traffic kind of comes in waves down there. Like, there's, you know, a grouping of cars, it will say anywhere from, you know, 5 to 15 of them, and then there's a big break, right? And that happens over and over again. And those breaks were just brutal. I'm crawling along, they were 11 miles an hour or something, and then the cars come by and I'm doing 16 because I'm in their draft and they're blocking the wind for me. So that happened over and over again. Finally get to Big Pine Key. That's where there's supposed to be some the Big Pine deer or the Keys deer. I never did see any of them. So the route gets off of Route 1 for a little while and hits some gravel roads that are kind of make up kind of a residential area, the edges of the residential area through there. But I never saw any of those deer, unfortunately. I did see a shark jump breach. I did see a shark breach from one of the bridges. That was kind of cool. Yeah, so after that, you know, back to straightforward, head down, just cruising into the wind. Somewhere maybe 15 miles out, Seth Jacoby drives by and slows down to my speed on Highway 1. So he's kind of backing up all this traffic. People are honking, but he's trying to say hi and be nice. But he moves on with promises to meet up with me in a little bit. Maybe 10 miles out, I stopped and talked to Audrey, knowing that once I got into the finish, it would be sort of a whirlwind, and I didn't want to miss just having a conversation with her as this whole thing was ending. I guess afterwards, it's still, I don't know that it's exactly sinking in at that point, just that it's truly ending, that it's done. But I'm starting to feel a little bit of it. There was not a lot of wanting to slow it down and savor, and I was ready to be done. I was quite ready to be done. It's been a long, long trip, and I'm, you know, physically, mentally, just all that time being uncomfortable. I was ready to not be uncomfortable. And I think some of the fatigue, it certainly had been accruing, right? And knowing that I'm there at the finish and that it's done lets that fatigue, I think, settle in even deeper. Like maybe I have some denial of that fatigue, and keeping it at bay. But now that I know it's all over and it just comes in hard, but, met up with Seth. He's pulling his dog Penny in a trailer, about 5 miles out from the finish. And it's a bit of stop and go. Let's finally get into, onto Key West. You know, the just sort of the open highway, no lights, that ends, you know, so I'm losing him a little bit in traffic and at speed, but he's catching me at every light and back into it. Finally make the turn into the straightaway to the finish, and kind of lost him for a minute. But Dan and Liliana are there. They've recruited everybody that happened to be there at the big concrete buoy anchor point thing that is the southernmost point of the continental United States. I rode my bike straight into it, bounced the front tire off it, and took a big sigh of relief that I did not have to make another pedal stroke on this journey. And yeah, so there's a lot of cheers, and I didn't realize there was a live feed of that landmark. So there's a lot of people out there on the internet watching it live there, and Liliana's Facebook live feed. And so it was cool. It's almost like that's by far the biggest crowd I've ever had at the finish of any sort of bike packing ultra distance, something or other. Like there's never anybody at the finish. I won't say that. There's never more than a couple people at the finish. And this had a bit of a crowd. So that felt pretty awesome. After that, I mean, the rest of the night's a whirlwind. It's just, you know, finding food, having some beers, lots of hugs and celebrations and cheers, and, a couple of phone calls, but mostly I just put my phone away and just let it be and soak in the moment. I did sit up a bit that night at the pool at the hotel, just outside chilling, trying to get my head around what it all just transpired. But it was done. I finished it 78 days, 11 hours, 9 minutes and like 36 seconds, something along those lines. So it's in the books. The Eastern Divide has been done. So now I guess it's up to the rest of you to get out there and destroy that benchmark. I certainly think it can be done a whole lot faster than that. And I can't wait to share some of the knowledge that I've gotten from it. And I don't know exactly what's next. That's always seems to be the question. You know, what are you going to do now? I'm going to savor this for a bit. I don't know. I'm thinking maybe a book. Certainly some putting some beta out there for others to be able to use so that they have a little better idea what they're getting into and what equipment they should use and how to go about taming this thing. So yeah, so that's it. I appreciate everybody listening to the call-ins. Please remember, I did this as a fundraiser for the Georgia Cycling Association, the youth mountain bike organization based in Georgia, as the name would imply. It used to be part of NYCA, but now we're on our own. So if you have enjoyed this adventure at all, please consider making a donation to them. If you just look up Eastern Divide Georgia Cycling Association, you'll find the page. So please check that out. Please make a donation if you can. The size of the donation does not matter at all. Just really appreciate everybody following it, and if you found it entertaining, please throw a donation that way. And then I guess there is one thing next, which is the Bikester Death takeover at Mulberry Gap in North Georgia. That's coming up the weekend of November 9th, 10th. And there's going to be an overnight bike pack. There's Q&A, speaking sessions with me and a couple other bike packers and Patrick that runs that, and then some live music with Kurt Wheeler. So it sounds like a pretty awesome weekend if you're down for that kind of thing. Of course, I'll be there through the whole weekend and the rides and whatnot. So if you want to come and have firsthand access and want to hear stories and all that kind of thing, check that out. So that's the Bikes or Death Takeover at Mulberry Gap. And then, yeah, I got nothing else beyond that. I'm just going to savor what I got. So thanks again for listening. Thanks to Joe, who makes MTBcast a thing. And I appreciate it. Take care. Bye.